Hello, everyone. I'm Grant Luce. Welcome to another edition of Luce Trails and Tales. We take an extended look at the people and the places in rural America that truly make it what it is. Luce Trails and Tales made possible by Superior Livestock Auction. Video sale on Friday, 19,000 head selling, but a ton of cattle have been put on the country page. Get more details about marketing your cattle the Superior way at superiorlivestock.com. The All-American Beef Battalion continuing to be there to say thank you to the men and women who continue to serve this country. We need your assistance, either time or a check. Steaksfortroops.com. And my favorite destination in the nation will always be Medora, North Dakota. On the web, MedoraND.com. For those of you that have not been paying attention, you should. I truly believe that rural America is on trial in a federal court in Portland, Oregon. And we have been bringing you bits and pieces of that particular situation. We are in the final days of that trial. A rancher, a saddlemaker, and a veteran, Matt Rockwell, joining us, who ranches in a neighboring county to Harney County, Oregon. First of all, I did not know you were a paratrooper.
Oh, well, that was a long time ago during Ronald Reagan's term as president.
Yeah.
Good old days.
I suppose we would refer to those as the good old days.
It sure feels like it right now.
Certainly a time when we had a commander-in-chief that had a degree of respect for his troops.
Yes. Yeah, it was a good time to serve during that period.
So, Matt, you went to Portland last week, and like some other friends of mine and Aaron Maupin and people we brought to the air, you didn't get the opportunity to testify. How do you, what's your 36,000-foot view of this trial? Where, by the way, seven people who were occupiers of Malheur National Wildlife Refuge are on trial for conspiracy to prevent a federal officer from doing their job. So what's your take on this?
Well, I guess probably the best way to give you that would be to back up and start from how it began for me, because when this all started, I had never been to a protest in my life. I went over to the first demonstration where people walked up through town to support the Hammonds right before they went off back to prison the second time, and really was just kind of looking it over. Wasn't even sure I was going to get out of the pickup because this stuff is so new to me. And, you know, we just get our heads down out here working and trying to make a living. But it kind of fell right in my backyard. You know, we live just we're the next town over from Burns. And so we got over there and looked around, and things looked pretty tame. Lots of American flags and just normal-looking people, I thought. But one of the things that I was shocked by was there were a whole bunch of ranchers. I expected to see everybody I knew there. But they were, a lot of them were these I guess, patriot people that were, honestly, a lot of people that just understood the Constitution, I guess, better than I did. And when you start visiting around there, I was just kind of amazed that these were people that kind of knew what they were talking about. And so it inspired me to learn more. You know, we just kind of walked up around town there and then when the guys decided to go out to the refuge, I looked at my wife and said, "We're going home." We went home because I didn't know what they were doing or any of that. I just didn't understand it. So I went home, and then, of course, later we saw videos and things that showed more what they were doing. And so then I went out, drove out there with another rancher that I did know that I saw there, and we just went out to look it over because it looked like, wow, they just moved the protest out to the refuge. And I thought, wow, that was a pretty good way to get it in the news and not hurt anybody. It's way out of town. And when you drive out to the refuge, Fred, you're going out through, was it 30 or 40 miles of sage, but there's nothing out there.
Right.
You know, as it unfolded and you don't the first time I went out, I didn't even get to speak to Hammond, but I met Lavoie, I talked to him. I made a couple more trips to show other people what it was like, because it was just shocking, because you were watching the news and they were portraying it one way, and you go out there and look around, and it's like, that's not at all what's happening. And I was just so floored by that. I couldn't believe the contrast, what I was seeing with my own eyes, and what was being reported. And it was maddening, you know. Later, when I did talk to Ammon, and, you know, I found him to be just a very smart and gentle person. I mean, he was a very huggable guy. I wish I could hug him right now. And then as it unfolded, you see that there's actually a legal pathway to everything they did out there, that the petitions and the redress of grievance, and they went through all of these channels trying to get the government, of any part of the government, to listen and to address some of these grievances, including some new evidence that was never presented at the Hammond trial. And then with the adverse possession, which I didn't really fully understand until, you know, after the fact. But I've done a lot of research on that. It seems to me, and I'm not an attorney, but that there's a legal pathway, and they went through all these steps that were actually very well thought out, and that's just not being reported. It's mind-boggling. After Lavoie was murdered, in my estimation, I guess fast-forwarding to my trip to Portland, I was subpoenaed by the defense, and, you know, been sort of on pins and needles here for all this time, you know, anticipating that, and you know, you go through stages of fear and dread and wondering if you're going to have your door kicked in and all these things. But anyway, I finally get over there, and I was ready to just tell the truth, and the judge would not let me on the stand. You know, and I feel like I have some unique information because of I was asked by the Bundys to put together a venue here over here in our neck of the woods so they could speak. And I really struggled with that because I was worried. I didn't want to get crossways with the law. I wanted to be sure before I dove into muddy water that I knew how deep it was, you know. And so right. I really pressed them on what their intentions were and what they were about, you know, because you'd hear these different things. And I just put it to them. I said, what exactly is it you guys are trying to do? Are you trying to, you know, overthrow the government? What is it spell it out for me, you know. And they were just adamant that they just wanted the Constitution to be upheld. They wanted the government to obey the law. And it was real simple. And then I finally asked Ryan, I said, well, why do you want to come over to our county? Why is that so important that you come over here and speak? And he said, man, I'll tell you what's going to happen is they're going to block this road off. And mind you, this was like the, 23rd or 5th or right around in there of January. So mm-hmm. things were getting pretty scary around there with all the buildup.
And just so our listeners know, Matt, Lavoie was murdered on the 26th.
Yeah, we're getting down there and things were getting a little scary. And then there were guys had just these combat uniforms, kind of, but they had no insignia. They didn't say state police, FBI. They didn't say anything on them. And when guys would ask them, well, where are you? Who are you? They would say, well, we're here to support the sheriff. So we don't know. Are these mercenaries? I still don't know who they were. And so he said, Matt, they're pretty soon going to block this road off. They're going to isolate us, and then they're going to come in here and kill us all. And that's what they believe. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, you know, I was kind of around this area when the Ruby Ridge thing happened. I thought, man, you know, yeah, I can see that could happen. You know, we were all kind of afraid that this was going to end badly, you know, and it didn't need to because nobody was they weren't doing anything violent. They had no discussion of violence that I ever heard at all.
Very clearly was the intent, what he shared with
you.
Yeah,
it's pretty clear what their intentions were.
Yeah.
And it turns out he was dead on. I finally, right before leaving there that day, I said, I asked Hammond just to pray for us all to know what's right and then have the courage to do what's right here. Because I was still conflicted at that time. I just, you know, I said, I'm going to have to think about this before I went and got a venue for him. The next morning I woke up and I had clarity on that, and I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to went down to the county fairgrounds and rented a building. So we put this meeting together for Thursday, and Lavoie was killed on Tuesday. So they never made it to our meeting. And, you know, we had a lot of people. Now, I guess the point there was that this movement was growing, and it was growing rapidly. Mm-hmm. We were filling rooms with people, and you saw it in Burns.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they wanted to shut it down, and our own senators called us a virus out here. Said that it's like a virus that needs to be stopped before it spreads. So we now
let me get this clear.
That.
Your own senator says that...
Wyden and Merkley both were saying that.
That their very own constituents who want to have meetings and talk about the government following the Constitution is a virus.
Yeah, yeah. So now when I handed out over 1,000 copies in our county, which I need to get some more because I gave them all out. But and so we proudly call that spreading the virus. So it's become something I wear with pride now as a badge of honor. And it's crazy the way we have been. People talk as if you're a constitutionalist, that's a problem. It's the supreme law of our land. It's what, mm-hmm. it's the foundation of our law system. And I don't understand other than it's corruption. I mean, we got to start educating our kids back to the Constitution. They're not getting it in school anymore.
Funny you mention that. My 11-year-old read the First Amendment this morning at breakfast before she went to school.
Excellent.
Matt Rockwell, there's a lot more here. Here's the thing. We do this every day. I'm going to ask you to come back one day soon, okay?
I'd love to.
And thanks.
It's a pleasure to speak to you and honor to be here on your program.
Matt Rockwell, I'm Trent Luce. Loose Trails and Tales always. Remember, be gentle, stay firm.